September 8, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Start out the show, John Coltrane. The night has a thousand eyes. Then Kishibashi philosophizes in it, chemicalize with it. And because of those Skype engineers, well, they're Estonian engineers. Their Skype invention. How you can tell I'm not man alone, right? You heard? Because of that, I got Kishibashi with me. Welcome aboard, Brother K.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. I didn't know Skype. Skype was made by Estonians.
Yeah, I think Mr. Gates and the Northwest people own it now, but they invented it and stuff.
Okay.
Shit works like that, right? We got to thank right away Joyful Noise, Brother Carl, for making the connect. And actually, he came up with the playlist, the order, the tunes, everything. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Carl.
Yeah. Now, interesting, your journey through music. So I want to learn about it. Please bring your earliest musical recollection, please, Kate.
Well, the first album, Minutemen. Just kidding. No. I was actually a metalhead when I was a kid. I wasn't too much into punk rock, but I'm well aware of the legend that exists right now in front of me and via voice.
What about when you were Akachan?
Akachan when I was a little kid in Japanese. Well, let me think.
Did you have any Oto, right? Some sound memories, music memories.
Wow. Let me think about this. I think I was like, I think I liked every crappy song that was probably came on the radio. Maybe some, like, definitely had a Madonna tape. When I was a kid? I don't know. I don't really remember. Oh, my parents liked the Carpenters and John Denver.
Okay.
I remember they had and the Beatles.
That lady was the drummer lady. They were from Downey here, and they had a practice pad in Long Beach. And
we actually
got to play in there with the Suburban Lawns. I mean, this is much after them. But a little bit of connect. Can I ask you, the pad that you grew up in, was your musical instrument?
My mom played piano a little bit, but besides that, no, I don't think so.
So was there a piano in the pad?
I think, we always had a piano. I think that's like something that was, part of our life.
Can I ask if you jumped on it?
I think one of my earliest things that I played was piano, but I really, honestly, I can't, between 0 and 5, I remember like pouring Coca-Cola into my rice, and I remember like some shadows, and that's about it. Maybe pooping my pants. I don't know. Actually, I probably don't remember that because that was just like normal. That's what kids do.
Wow, we don't like that N word, but healthy. Let's say healthy. What about lessons? You know, some people like you're going to take piano lessons. Did you have to go through that ordeal?
I'm pretty sure I took piano lessons, but I don't remember. When I started violin, when I moved to Ithaca, New York, I grew up in, these are memories when I was in Seattle. When I was 5, I moved to Ithaca, New York, and that's when I started playing violin. I think when I was 7.
Cornell.
Yeah, my dad he taught at Cornell. That's
okay,
why we ended up there.
Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan, that's right.
Yeah, I remember, right? He was way into mota. He smoked a lot of mota for those days. That was kind of wild. Marijuana.
Oh, what is it? What language is that? Mota?
Mexican slang. Espanol. Oh. But you know, they got words that they don't use in Spain, like fucking pinche. Pinche. They got different cuss words. In English, we do this, dude.
You mean... It's not marijuana.
Yeah, sometimes with the J, sometimes with the H. Yeah, they say mota. Because pota was the fucking stems, and the mota was the flower. So when the white guys ask for the pot, they're asking for the worst part. But that you know, there's karma that comes backhand, just whatever. But I want to talk about you and your story. So Ithaca.
Let's just talk about weed.
What about at school? Were you... in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
When I was in high school, I was in the orchestra, like a good Asian kid. And then in college, I actually went to Cornell for a couple of years. I was in the glee club, of all places. So I gleed.
But you also did the violin. And was that a school thing or at home?
I did it's called Suzuki Violin.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like a regimented, like, brainwash thing where you have to listen to tapes over. You have to listen to that song over and over as you sleep.
They got drummer school they opened up over there in Japan. And I know a lady who's a top session, and she went through that. I mean, if you're going to sell the instruments, why not sell lessons with it?
I don't think there's a Yamaha school, which is, like, popular in Japan. I don't think Suzuki's that popular. It's an American thing.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah.
It was just a weird parallel. Humans are humans in my book, my Travis. Yeah, I mean, there's accents and different kinds of chow, but when you get down to it, there's a lot of common ground.
You talking about food or
just anything human?
Race.
Just anything human,
ethnicity.
Right?
Yeah.
To me, it breaks down to, like, freckles. I don't know if that's such a big deal. You know, I grew up, my pop was a sailor, so I grew up with all kinds of cats, and I didn't know about all these huge differences because of the eyelids or, the skin color.
Is freckles like what, if you don't tan, you get freckles? Is that the deal? Or can
my sister's got a freckles? She's got a buttload of freckles, and I got hardly any. And we're brother and sister, so, you know, fuck that shit. I think it's something about melanin. You're right. Melanin. Yeah.
Melatonin is what you take when you sleep.
melatonin is for the sleep. But melanin is like to protect your skin. So, you know, what made you choose violin?
I think it's like something I just wanted to do. It's like one of those activities, like swim team. But I think I was always musical. I don't know. I liked it, but I liked it enough to stay with it. You know, I stayed with it all my life.
Okay. So. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
Like, first tape?
It don't matter about the medium. I'm sorry, Jim.
I think I had, I'm embarrassed to admit, I probably had a Yanni tape when I was in middle school. Is that okay?
But you bought that with your own money. Well, I asked that because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of Zenny, right? So when
you spend it on... Zenny.
That's the most
word. Why do you know all this, like, Japanese, like, slang?
I know a little bit. Well, I also know some motans. You know, I'm a word collector.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, BMG was probably the gateway, you know, with the penny. So I did have money. I had, like, tons and tons of pennies, you know. To get that first.
What about the first gig you saw?
Gig? Oh, like money? Like where I work for money?
No, gig. First performance of a live music thing.
Oh, live music? Well, I probably saw classical music. My parents, you know, they took me to the symphony, but
okay, that's good.
I saw a bunch of metal bands when I was in high school, that's for sure. Oh yeah.
So my first gig? T-Rex.
Really? T-Rex?
Yeah,
is that cool?
Boom, we were 15 years old, 1973.
I don't know. T-Bowling. That'd be awesome.
$2.50.
Was that a lot of money? $2.50?
Yeah. Well, in those days, it was 25 cents a gallon for gas. We got my first apartment, $118 a month, furnished. Yeah, it was different. But then there was big butt-whooping inflation soon after, so don't ever wish for the old days. Never. That's my advice, Kate.
Okay. I won't.
Okay, the violin now. I'm thinking, I saw Jerry Goodman on the violin with the Mahavishnu Orchestra in 1971.
That's cool. Damn.
Yeah, he tore it up. That whole band did. And I didn't like Fusion much, but I liked that gig. But
do you see Weather Report, too? They're probably on tour with them, right?
Guys, they had a Pure Food and Drug Act open up. But they headlined. It was the Birds of Fire tour. But let me bring that up because there ain't a lot of violin in rock and roll. So did you do the garage band thing in the afternoon after school, like basement band?
No, I was like a good kid in like high school. Like, I played guitar, you know, and I wanted an electric guitar, but I never just, I just didn't get one. But in college, I played a folk rock band.
Whoa. Okay.
You know.
Did you teach yourself guitar?
Yeah. I mean, it's not really that hard. I mean, to play a little rock and roll, it's not really that hard.
Okay,
if you want to play solos and stuff, you know, that's like another, you know. But for somebody who plays violin, it was probably, you know, the left hand is not, it's not that easy. It's not that hard to pick up, you know.
Yeah, simple. But let's say learning how to write and then writing a novel, maybe a little bit different.
Yeah, it's like writing a letter versus writing a novel.
Okay.
Anybody can write a letter or a postcard to somebody.
Okay, here's what Carl gave me, this Marigolds. I want to play it.
Okay. Thank you.
places for you to see and me to see. Murder and colonies, land without rivers, raging in the middle of lust and bad destiny.
Show guys, start that chunk music off with Marigolds by Kishibashi, then Guided by Voices, brand new, High in the Rain, Dayton, Ohio. Victoria Shen with Salsa Time, Sarah Devachi, Chorus Scene, A Kite of Night, Shugo Tokumaru. We're recording Bombas Prennan, brand new. They did that over the internet in real time. Yeah, I love
him. Shugo Tokumaru, he's the best.
Oh, you know about him? Yeah,
yeah.
Bombas Prennan guys though actually collaborated in real time over the internet. I can't wait till that happens instead of just trading files. Samuel Locke Ward, Iowa City with some jazz, Northern Jaw, St. Cloud, and finally Bright Whites. From Kishibashi. You just got your chones watched, huh? There's another slang word, chones. Okay, so...
You want to explain that one to me? Got my tonies watched?
It's shiitake.
Shiitake?
Shiitake. Mushroom. Underwear. Shiitake.
Oh, shiitake. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, look.
My tonies.
Did you know that... Yeah, chones. You never heard that? It's kind of part of chingas. That's another word they don't use in Spain, right? It's only a mess. It means fucked up. Chingazo is right when I'm going to hit you with my fist, right? They're going to fuck you up. The chingazo. Yeah, chingazo.
Right.
Go to shit your pants. Chones. Yeah, we're all learning here. Look, you went to university. Did you go there for music?
I went there for engineering. Cornell first, but then I transferred to Berkeley when they kicked me out. I kind of flunked out. Berkeley College of Music.
Okay.
That's where I ended up, yeah.
So you went to, what kind of engineering? You mean like mechanical or engineering? Studio?
Electrical. No, electrical.
Electrical.
But here's a funny thing, you know, I flunked out and then I went to Berkeley College of Music where I studied also engineering of a different kind. Audio engineering, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. We do that. We mix up the words so you don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Okay.
I could be a trained engineer too. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay.
You never know.
Well, how was your experience at Berkeley? We've had a bunch of people on the show that have been there. So a lot of them are good ones. Some of them are lame.
Well, I actually enjoyed it because I was basically so desperate to find myself, you know, after having flunked out of an academic institution. So I studied my ass off. I played a lot of jazz violin. That's what I got into, improvising on violin. And I also studied film scoring. So I have like two skills coming out of college. You know?
Yeah. And also I heard going there, you can develop a lot of connects.
Oh yeah. Like definitely like that's, I mean, that's what college does for everybody, right?
Right.
Like down the road, everybody's going to be a professional. So, or a lot of people are professionals.
I think that's really one of the ideas of frats and shit.
Oh yeah. You know, all those like sauna like deals,
yeah.
You know, they're made with frat guys in saunas. You know?
Now, I'm curious, jazz, improvised violin. Did you have any other violin players you looked up to in that kind of field?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like you said, Jerry Goodwin's great, and Jean-Luc Ponty. I was like, I actually prefer Jean-Luc Ponty over, you know, Jerry Goodman in my vision.
It was just one moment, you know. Music ain't sports, so I ain't judging
one or the other.
But both those guys are incredible.
Oh, yeah. But I also love, you know, Stefan Grappelli is like one of the first guys I really fell in love with. He's like kind of this legend. You know, he played with Django.
Yeah. And, you know, look, think of the roles too, okay? Because violin's part of a symphony. I've had classical people on the show. They can't play unless you put a sheet of music in front of them. They know no improvisation skill at all.
Yeah, it's not. It's something that's basically been phased out because it's so institutionalized. But, you know, back in the day, people used to improvise all the time. You know, it was just like something you do. It's like talking.
Like it's so they didn't want anybody fucking with the tradition or something?
I think composers got really – composers became stars, and they started to really want people to play exactly how they did and, like, not leave any room for interpretations. But back in the day, you know, you have a violin concerto. In the middle, you have a little cadenza, and that was up to the performer to make up whatever you wanted.
Okay. I did see a trippy thing. I saw Pierre Boulez maybe 25, 30 years ago do Dorothy Chandler and what was it? Magical Mandarin – Mr. Bartok, and maybe 60 people on stage, righteous players, right? But it was kind of, until they kind of submitted to him, you could tell the piece changed. But now, I'm not saying like a dictator, but kind of like a rudder man. Now, this ain't the composer. This is the guy, the conductor, so he's in the moment. The music's already been written. But I saw the dynamo with this guy who took me there, bum-rushed me to the front of the stage, so I could actually get to the see what was going on, or feel it even. And when he got it all together, man, was it powerful.
So Pierre Boulez, the conductor, the pianist conductor?
Was. Yeah, he was the conductor. Wow. And they also did some Parsifal, and it was some strange shit. I think it started with some Weber, like England. Yeah, it was weird.
Oh, Weber,
I'm not real versed in that kind of world, but I love the dynamics, the way music works.
Did they wait in a proper concert hall? Some guy like you just went, you ran to the front of the stage?
I didn't run. I was taken there. It wasn't my idea. There were some empty seats, and I guess this guy knew thing, and the people weren't going to show up or some shit. I don't know. It's not my world. Like I said, I'm more from the punk clubs, you know, and arena rock or that. But to me, you know, as time has gone on, I've learned that music is music, so I fucking hate the idea of genre.
I agree. Yeah, I think like classical music has that problem of just being like...
So does rock and roll. So does rock and roll. So does jazz. Well, look at them calling John Coltrane, downbeat, calling John Coltrane anti-jazz.
What?
Why he was still alive.
Oh, why he was still alive. I can see that.
Downbeat magazine.
Really?
Look, the big joke is Thelonious Monk would have never won the Thelonious Monk contest because humans do shit like this.
Yeah, because he's not a chops guy.
Back to your journey. So you're doing a lot of improvisation while you're going to school to be an audio engineer and a crackerjack violin.
Yeah.
Do you make your own bands on the side, or do you play in other cats' bands?
I was always playing in other people's bands, you know, other cats, you know, because I moved to New York City after that. I lived there for about 10 years and cut my teeth, as they say, you know, in those really intense jazz circles where they're just like, everybody's just like trying to one-up each other by playing faster and meaner and more sophisticated than each other, you know. That's kind of where I grew up, where I really like developed improvisation to the point where I started. And then I was like, I had a rock band called Jupiter One. And once it started off as an instrumental, like jazz fusion, like drum and bass band. And then, you know, there were like tens and tens of people at our shows, you know.
Character builders.
But then once I started singing, it was like more and more people started showing up. And I was like, oh, like girls started showing up and their boyfriends would start showing up and they were like, wow, we actually like, maybe she's just like write more songs.
You've got a beautiful voice. So you never really developed it until then, huh?
Yeah. I was just like I sang in the folk band in college, but I never thought it was something, you know, major for me.
Violin was all. You said glee. So that was kind of a choir thing.
Oh yeah. But I had a band too. I had a folk band.
Okay.
We used to be like, I'm sure we did a Rusted Root cover, you know, back then in the day, you know, or a Dave Matthews cover. I'm sure that could have happened, you know. I'm not going to confirm or deny.
What about writing your own songs? Did you write folk songs?
I'm sure I wrote a couple crappy songs back then, you know. But we'll neither confirm nor deny.
For me to revisit my first song, my God, yeah, the horror.
Horror. I'm gonna save everybody's ears. You know, do your ears a favor by not mentioning. But
we're at the end of the first hour, September 8, 2021, at Dish Wap Pedo Show. Special guest Kishi Bishi Bashi. Fucking hold tight for hour two. September 8, 2021. It's the second hour. Watch for Pedro Show.
No laughs at God in a hospital. No laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they're starving, freezing, or so very poor. No one laughs at God when the doctor calls after some routine tests. No one's laughing at God when it's gotten real late and the kid's not back from that party yet. No one laughs at God when their airplane starts to uncontrollably shake. No one's laughing at God when they see the one they love hand in hand with someone else in the hope that they're mistaken. No one laughs at God when the cops knock on their door and they say, "We've got some bad news, sir." No one's laughing at God when there's a famine, fire, and blood. But God can be funny at a cocktail party when listening to a good God-themed joke. When the crazy said he hates us and they get so red in the head you think they're about to choke. And God can be funny when told he'll give you money if you just pray the right way. When presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini, grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God can be so hilarious. Ha ha. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they lost all they've got and they don't know what for. No one laughs at God on the day they realize that the last sight they'll ever see is a pair of hateful eyes. No one's laughing at God when they're saying their goodbyes. But God can be fun at a cocktail party when listening to a good God-themed joke. Or when the crazy said he hates us and they get so red in the head you think they're about to choke. When God can be funny when told he'll give you money if you just pray the right way. When presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini, grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God can be so hilarious. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God in a hospital. No one's laughing at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they're starving, freezing, or so very. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. We're all laughing with God.
Thank you. I was going to do one more. Thanks for listening.
Pedro, so start off the second hour, Kishi Bashi. See, I got it right that time, kid. Mm. Laughing With, maybe ellipse there, dot, dot, dot. He gives it away, people. You hear it in the song. Ben Salter after that for Tasmania Live. Isolationism from nearby Sydney. Lucas Abella with two guys from China, where I can't remember their names. I'm so sorry. But they're called Rice Core and Desktop Frog. Chica Libre after that with Pavane. Carthage School, brand new out of Hokkaido, my buddy Nez, actually the Irish cat who moved there, and he's putting out records on his label there. God, what's it, escapes me now because I've fucking Alzheimer'd out to the max, but this is Kenji Miyazawa from Carthage School, and then finally Kishi Bashi with Can't Let Go, Juno. You can hear him working the keyboard there, so I'm boring the fuck out of you guys. But let's get back to your journey. So,
yeah,
you start singing at gigs.
It's singing at gigs.
It's a sea change in your life. It's a sea change in your life.
Yeah, it's like I think at that point I was starting to get burnt out with instrumental jazz. Just not the music necessarily, but just the industry. You know, because it was like a stranglehold on your soul. It was just like such a vicious like ladder that you had to like crawl up, you know.
Some people call it the greasy pole.
This is the greasy pole of jazz. Yeah, sure.
Well, I think all the genres get their own greasy poles. And the thing about it is, greasy pole, hard to, right, work up, but really easy to slide back down.
That's hilarious. I'll think about that next time I'm practicing jazz, but playing giant steps, whatever. But I think at some point I started, you know, I always liked bands anyway. So at the time, like in the 2000s, there's a lot of like bands coming out of New York and Brooklyn. So I think we just kind of rode that wave and tried to make it, you know, but I don't know. I couldn't really make it until I hit it off on my own. So
And what about the tour? Did you ever try the tour thing?
We definitely tried the tour thing with Jupiter One. We had like a we beat this country to the ground. Like we played like I don't know like massive. We did huge tours. When I say huge, I mean we're sleeping on floors, obviously. But like you know, we went around the country like several times. And I don't know. It's either we just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get like a sustainable crowd. So like most bands, we broke up, you know, eventually just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, I was reading about 1939 in the United States. There was 30,000 swing bands touring.
30,000 swing bands?
Right? And how many dudes, right? At least 9 or 10 guys, right? Can you imagine talk about sustainability?
180,000.
Yeah, dudes men looking for work.
Swinging on the streets. Man.
So you break up. I noticed you didn't, Carl didn't give me any Jupiter One. So do you have good memories of that time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I learned a lot. Here's the thing. I play a lot of guitar and keyboards, and it was like a really aggressive, like, synth rock band.
You didn't do violin.
I didn't do too much violin. I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, my bandmates didn't really, I didn't think it was, I think I was caught up in this, like, masculinity thing where I was afraid to play violin as like something that was like cool. That was like more my job.
Wow. You know what's so funny about that? I was just talking to my buddy Peter DiStefano. Have you ever heard of a cat named Paganini?
I've heard of Paganini, yeah.
He wore a cape and shit. He's kind of, I'm this before Charlie Christian by 50 years, but this idea of the big melody line. And he did it on violin, so he kind of invented lead guitar, not on guitar.
He was like one of the original like rock stars of like classical music, you know. Yeah, same with like Liszt, you know, Franz Liszt, the pianist.
Right, you know, the act of the performance, right?
Yeah, like Listomania, you know, Beatles mania, that comes from Listomania, right?
I heard he destroyed his fingers by trying to do prac with like big lead weights on him.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, don't try to people. The lesson there is don't try to overthrow reality with the concept.
what Paganini would do is he would file down his strings like from the highest, the thinnest to the thickest, and then he'd be playing his thing, and then the high string would pop, and then the crowd would be aghast, you know. And then he'd like pop his next string, and then they'd be like in a frenzy, and then he'd pop his like third string, and then I don't know, women were fainting, you know, and then he finished the piece with his like low string. That was like his thing.
It's like Jimmy lighting the Strat on fire.
Yeah, but like in 18.
Yeah, I know. That, what I'm saying is this guy's maybe an OG for this kind of stuff. So, those rock and roll guys you were playing with, they didn't understand that violin secretly was the fucking mother of all creation.
Yeah. I mean, it's been around. Violin's been around for a while.
But you know what? Rock and roll is actually piano, right? It's Little Richard and Jerry Lee. It's piano music. It's boogie woogie. It comes from R&B, really. I want to play some stuff here. This interesting title. I am Antichrist to you.
Why are you
less we say about it, the better. Make it up as we go along. Feet on the ground, hat in the sky. It's okay, I know nothing's wrong.
Or just, you know, or like Warriors or something, you know. I think warrior culture was like, you know, one thing, but.
Yeah. We're talking about Mr. Paganini off air there, people, and how he calculated some drama for the ladies to faint. I am Antichrist to you, Kishi Bashi, Mold Omen from Baltimore after that, Valerian Footstool, Le Green Gris, She Just Left, both, Part 2 of 8 from Bill Nace. Public Record with Invisible Complete, and finally, This Must Be the Place, Kishi Bashi. So, what about with composition? Do you make demos? Do you keep a little notebook of words? Do you use a little voice memo on the leash to, like, get little melodies memorized?
Definitely voice memos, lots of them, you know, for just, like, little ideas. Definitely no little notebooks with words. Definitely not. Until way later, until I have to like start writing lyrics. I have demos. Like before I go into the studio, I usually fully form the demos. Like I produce it all out with fake drums and everything.
Yeah.
You know, just yeah.
That's an advantage of knowing how to play a lot of stuff.
I think I like to know what I don't like to waste. Yeah, like my biggest peeve is like wasting expensive studio time. So,
yeah.
Like, I'm going in with a band, or I'm like hiring great musicians, or I don't know, like in a really nice studio. I'm not gonna waste time. I'm gonna make sure I'm prepared. You know,
Do you ever set up your musicians so there's a place like they get to improvise, like you were talking about that violin concerto?
Yeah, I think. I definitely leave space. But that's one of the things a luxury that I've recently figured out, you know, like before when I was struggling in the beginning, when I didn't have that kind of money to get like nice studios, like all the time or, you know, to really record drums really well, you know, I wouldn't have that luxury. I would plan everything out, but last couple albums I went in, I left some room to like explore, you know, a little bit.
And you say the words, They're like on demand. You get the music done, and okay, I got to put some words to this stuff. Then that's when you start brainstorming. So I guess the titles come up last.
Yeah, the title usually it's like for me, it's the sound of the words, and then whatever sound I like singing, I start to craft. A lot of times, I'll craft a story around that or poetry around that. It's usually my approach.
Ah, so you like the sound of the word versus the content of the word?
Yeah, if I don't like singing it, I'm not going to like the song for like a long time.
Okay. No, that makes good sense. You got to feel it, right?
Yeah. I think
John Coltrane said, if you're sincere, you can play a shoelace. But how can you be sincere?
Train,
you
man, the train.
Yeah, you said a lot of stuff, huh? What keeps repeating.
I'm going to play some Giant Steps after this and think about train.
Yeah. You know what you said about cutting people? That song is used the most to cut people.
What song are you talking about? Giant Steps? Oh, yeah.
But if you look at any kind of picture of him and his eyes, they're not about sports and trying to cut somebody. To me, there's a lot of compassion.
And a lot of heroin, probably.
Well, not by then. He quit, right?
No. Really? By the time he did Giant Steps?
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, he did. He quit in 57, the year I was born. And
no way.
Pinky
way. Seriously?
I wouldn't shit you.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know?
I mean,
read Quincy Troup's book on Miles Davis. Miles socks him in the stomach after he nods on stage when Monk's backstage. So he has Monk says, "You play with me, John, for 9 months," and that's where he quit the shit in his pad in Philadelphia on 33rd Street. Cold turkey.
What?
Right, and that's what Love Supreme's about. It's the prayer, thank you, to get me off the shit.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
why I wanted you on the show, Case, so I could enlighten you.
Get the record straight. I didn't know. I thought he was like high as a kite and like all through that whole album, his solo albums. I didn't realize that. That's cool. Good for him.
The first solo one's the Prestige one, and that, I think that's right around the transition time because there's an interview with August Blum in 58. And he's talking about getting healthy. Now, he never mentions the word heroin, but he talks about getting healthy.
Man, all those, like, bebop players are, like, on so much heroin. It's like...
Not all of them. Clifford Brown, no. Diz, no. Eric Dolphy,
okay.
No. But, yeah,
Charlie,
a lot of them.
Bird.
Okay,
and Miles,
That's the reason. It was because of Bird. They saw how fucked up, but he could play so bitchin', and they thought he had... And this is what Richard Meltzer told me was so important about John Coltrane. He said he kicked dope out of the temple. That you could quit that shit and be even a better player.
You think Bird was the reason why?
I know that's the well. If you read Miles' book, that's why he went to Juilliard. He wanted to just meet the man. But when they saw how good he could play, they thought it was because of the chemicals. They didn't know that was actually something that was fucking him up and ended up killing him. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 8, 2021, the Dish Watt Peter Show. Special guest Kate Kishibashi. Kishibashi, I'm gonna get it right. Hold tight, hour three. September 8, 2021, it's third hour of the Watt for Pedro's.
skin so stiff we froze to the bone. Summer was sunny, the history funny to settle it. Was he right? Innocence without a drop of fun.
Show start off the third hour, F. Delano, Kishibashi. And then we have your name reminding me of this cat, Kaoru Abe. You know about him?
Abe, wait, is he the prime minister? Wait, actually, I don't know who he is.
No, he was. He just quit. Yeah, Mr. Suga now. But this was a musician. Actually, his cousin was that guy. They fucking renamed the song Sukiyaki, but that's not what it was called.
Oh, yeah, it's a sax player? Okay.
I look at the sky so the tears won't fall down. But we called it like some kind of chow.
Yeah, you're talking about That's not called.
It's his cousin.
Sax version.
It's his cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't say talking... It's his cousin.
And Sakamoto Kyu.
That's right. And he became this avant-garde guy, you know, talking about playing for tens of people. It was probably ones of people. There was a fucking trippy-ass movie in the 90s made Endless Waltz about, you know, his wife, Izumi Suzuki, just put out a book. Anyway, this is music, and it just reminded me. Autumn Leaves, live and passed in Fukushima, September 24, 1977. Then Mike Cooper with the Cinnamon Peeler. Brett Goodside out of Milwaukee with Waiting. The Fix from the Suns. That's Suns with two U's, people. New Romeo Agent from Truck. Brand new Tropical Fuckstorm. And finally, Kishibashi. It all began with a burst. I love that title.
And Tropical Fuckstorm.
Yeah, well, that's a band name, but that's a beautiful, beautiful band name. You know, I asked you the question about the song titles because I have to start with the song title or I got no focus, but then I compose on the bass. What do you usually compose on?
It's a mixture of, like, violin loops or guitar. Sometimes keyboards or samples. I like to chop up, like, sounds and, like, turn them into... If I find something cool. then it'll become like the basis for a song.
Well, I noticed you love melody, man. You have lots of great melodies going on.
I like a good melody, you know. It's probably my classical music upbringing. I was way into classical music when I was a kid, so high school.
And versus the rhythm thing, but there's good rhythm stuff too, you know. I think playing in bands, doing all those tours, conking on decks, was it for nothing? You were investing in where you are right now.
I mean, yeah, I used to play a lot of jazz and funk and fusion. That's what I was really into, like Herbie Hancock, like that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Well, he played with Miles and shit when he was a younger man.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that stuff in the 90s with Rocket? And then he just did a bio, and he said he was fucking on the pipe in the early 2000s. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he was like a crack. He'd, like, fly into Burbank, and, like, his driver would just, like, take him to some crack house, and he'd just hang out there for, like, 6 hours.
Incredible music. You know, we're only humans, right? We're frail. But he got out of it. That's a beautiful thing.
I know. He's, like, a legend to me. I mean, to me, he's, like, the god. Like, everything he plays, you know, is just so good. You know, like, he's just so on top of music. Just unbelievable.
And, you know, you got to be careful with keyboard, right? You can Bogart. You got all those notes. Maybe violin's like that, too, because it's so legato. You know, if you're not careful, right, you can take up all the... You can Bogart. <That's a word.
laughs> What do you call it, Bogart?
Yeah, you don't know that word? It's like, you know, it's kind of from the 60s. It's from... you don't pass the mota around. You just keep it puffing it yourself.
You're just, like, jerking off, basically. Or
you don't pass the ball, right? In basketball, you call a ball hog.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Got it, ball hog, yeah.
Right. Ball. Summer 42, you like movies?
Who doesn't like movies?
Well, you named this tune after it, that's why I asked.
Oh.
What are the things you want to say? Him as anyone?
Honey body, what you doing Sunday?
That's one of the jazz scenes I used to like to play, you know, but people would like scoff at me, like the jazz musicians.
Yeah.
Because it was too easy. It's like the changes aren't hard enough. So be like, on these.
Well, the last block of music, that's what we heard Carl Abbe jamming
right.
on. He was interpreted. I think the whole idea was to take something like my favorite thing, some silly little waltz, and then John Coltrane twisted it inside out, right? That's the point. It's not about being too easy, too hard.
Mm. Yeah. Well, in jam sessions, apparently it's about being too hard.
I know. I understand. I just hate that culture. I think that's why the punk movement came. That and arena rock. Don't blame those fusion guys, but you got to blame the arena rock guys, too.
You're saying arena rock is a response to... Oh, wait. Punk rock is a response to arena rock?
Right. Because club culture died.
Hmm.
Club culture was the way I could get close enough to the stage where I could see the bass had bigger strings. I couldn't tell at arena.
So you're like, fuck you, I'm gonna go to small club. I'm gonna play small club music.
Yeah, but I couldn't meet other people. There was no talking, no dynamic. Arena rock is like a Nuremberg rally to me. I'm not so much into it. Let me tell the people what we heard. Summer 42, Kishi Bashi, Goes Through New York State, Star Rover, Yuki Kawano with Memory, DMPH, Sacramento, and finally Kishi Bashi with Honey Body. So, tell me about we were discussing off-air, people, that you can't copyright a song title, movie title, because Summer 42 from Kay here has nothing to do with a movie.
Yeah, because I literally had no idea until he pointed it out to me today. So, but I'll check it out because it says music by Michel Legrand, which is I love. So, that's probably pretty cool.
Yeah, you told me that you were developing skills at movie soundtrack.
Well, I mean, I'm working at. I studied film scoring in college, you know, at Berkeley. But this song, you know, my whole last album, Omoyari, is about Japanese internment and like social justice and minority identity, and so.
Oh, you know about Terminal Island, then you know about Furusako.
I know. I wasn't gonna mention it. But, okay. You know, yeah.
That was Terminal fucking Island, 48 hours. Okay, that was bullshit.
Yeah. This took everybody, locked them up. Yeah.
My mom's people are from Italy. They didn't lock them up. Most people invented fascism. You know what Sly Stone said? He said, "It's not where you're from; it's where you're at."
That's nice.
Just something to think about.
I'm thinking about it right now.
So you actually started with a concept with this album, and then what? It's still a collection of songs, but they're kind of built around that concept?
Yeah, so it's about, I'm working on a documentary film about this exactly, and so I've been working on it for 4 years. And when I made this album, I was like traveling America kind of and the world a little bit and filming about just like internment camps, World War II history, like minority identity, this kind of stuff. And so this is like one of the songs I wrote.
So something like that, where you have like a concept, you still don't have lyrics. You're waiting for the music. But everything's going to fit into the big narrative, right?
Yeah, so that's a struggle, you know. So like a lot of, I'm definitely concepting about history, and this is like, it was a departure for me, but, you know. I think, like, instead of being really negative, this was, like, a love song, you know, like, falling in love in the summer of 42, like, in an internment camp. And so I think it's, like, finding the humanity. It's easier to write love songs for me. So that's the way I was able to kind of connect with that time period, you know, is through humanizing the people back then. Like, they'd be just like you and me, you know, falling in and out of love.
That's a skill, Kay, because it's hard for me to write a love song.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta think about that special lady,
yeah, big song, okay.
Or guy, or whatever. You know.
Yeah, whatever. That's what it comes down to. Sometimes you're talking about strong feelings.
Yeah, just think about that time, you know, you got dumped in high school where it hurt more than anything in the world.
So let's celebrate it with a song.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Where you just look down at your chest, you can see that hilt of that knife still sticking out of your heart, you know.
Right.
That, yeah. Just
and the moment branded upon your brain like a tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Just think about it. Just write a song with that.
Okay. Yeah. And what's your next you got a project coming up?
I mean, I'm...
You're still underway with this, baby.
Yeah, I got a project. It's called Life After COVID, you know.
Okay.
I'm still working on this movie.
You're very optimistic we're after, huh? Okay, great.
I mean, I'm eventually going to go on tour, probably next year.
I got some plan for next year, too.
Cool.
Before, have you been using the internet to trade files?
A little bit.
Okay.
Not too much. I've been like exploring America. Honestly, I've been like I moved to Montana, like half moved to Montana. So like I've been enjoying like the outdoors. Honestly.
Okay. What? Missoula, Billings.
Bozeman.
Bozeman. Okay. Yeah. Montana State, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just love it there. It's just like hiking, mountain biking, yeah.
You know what they call that? Area? Big Sky.
Yeah, Big Sky. Big Sky's right by... Yeah, I think Big Sky's right by there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just the whole state because it's like, what, 10,000 feet up already because the Rockies...
Yeah, it's incredible. It's just like... It's been a little smoky this summer, but that's why it was there the whole summer.
You're talking about the fires, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
California,
yeah,
Oregon, oh, my God.
Yeah, B.C.
Huge B.C., fire. Big time, yeah. You're waiting to go on tour. Is it possible for you to record there in Montana?
Yeah, I have a little studio. I brought my studio up there. So okay. I'm doing a little bit here and there. I'm preparing for a lot of... I'm still working on this movie. I have to do the soundtrack. Oh, I have to do the soundtrack for my own documentary movie. So.
Wow!
Yeah, that's what I'm doing this fall.
That's what we should do. When you get that documentary done, man, can you give me the music? Come back on the show? We can talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
That would be beautiful, man. Yeah. Such an honor to have you aboard, Kay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. The honor is mine.
Okay, keep on keeping on, brother. People, it's been September 8, 2021, this WAP Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.